ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। And I am reading from Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 15, text 13. Page number 644. Samavisha chabutani Daryamaham Ojasa Usnami Chosad Sadi Sarva Samo Buddha Asat Makaha Gamma Vishacha Bhutani Narayani Aham Ojasa Usnami Sodi Sarva Samo Bhutva Rasamikaha. Word for word. Gam, the planets. Visha, entering. Cha, also. Bhutani, the living entities. Darayami, sustain. Aham, I. Ojasa, by my energy. Usnami, I'm nourishing. Cha, and. Anusada, vegetables. Sarva, all. Soma, the moon. Udva, becoming. Asatmaka, supplying the juice. Translation purport by the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I enter into each planet, and by my energy, they stay in orbit. I become the moon, thereby supplying the juice of life to all vegetables. Please repeat. I enter into each planet,
and by my energy,
they stay in orbit. I become the moon, and thereby supply the juice of life to all vegetables. Purport. It is understood that all the planets are floating in the air only by the energy of the Lord. The Lord enters into every atom, every planet, every living being. That is discussed in the Brahma Samhita. It is said there that one planetary portion, Supreme Personality Godhead, Paramatma, enters into the planets, the universe, living entities, even the atom. So due to his entrance, everything is appropriately manifested. When the spirit soul is there, a living man can float on the water. If the living spark is out of the body, and the body is dead, the body sinks. Of course, when it's decomposed, it floats, just like straw and other things. As soon as the man is dead, he at once sinks in the water. Similarly, all these planets are floating in space. This is due to the entrance of the Supreme Energy, Supreme Personality Godhead. His energy is sustaining each planet. This is a handful of dust. If someone holds a handful of dust, There's no possibility of the dust falling. But one throws it in the air, it will fall down. Some of these plants which are floating in the air are actually held in the fist of the universal form of the Supreme Lord. By His strength and energy, all moving and non-moving things stay in their place. It's said in the Vedic hymn that because of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sun is shining and the plants are steadily moving. Were it not for Him, all the plants would scatter like dust in air and perish. Similarly, it's due to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the moon nourishes all vegetables. Due to the moon's influence, the vegetables become delicious. Without the moonshine, the vegetables can neither grow nor taste succulent. Human society is working, living comfortably, enjoying food, due to the supply from the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, mankind cannot survive. The word rasatmakaha is very significant. Everything becomes palatable by the agency of the Supreme Lord through the influence of the moon. Om Agnyantaram Dasya Jana Jana Sakaya Sakshuri Mintam Jena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Nirodhi Stam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Danti Swapa Danti Kam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Translation: I enter into each planet, my energy, they stay in orbit. I become the moon, thereby I supply the juice of life to all vegetables. So these verses 13 and 14. I've drawn the verses. Verses 12 to 15 are talking about Krishna as the maintainer. So the Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master in 1922. Can you ask him to stop the noise, Haribo? Haribo, can you ask him to stop? Can you ask him to stop the noise? The time is over. So Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master in 1922 at the request of a friend. Prabhupada was reluctant to go to see this sadhu because his father would feed five sadhus every day in his childhood, and none of them were bona fide. Most of them weren't bona fide. So he was skeptical that this is another bogus guru. Well, anyway, Prabhupada went. You're leaving? Why are you leaving? Anyway, just sit down. You don't have to leave. Just sit down. Just sit down. Just sit down. Sit down. 5 minutes more.
Is it okay? I stand.
Anyway, if you don't come to class, if you have other things to do, otherwise it's not proper to walk out in class.
It's not It's a good process.
Then don't walk out. Why do you have to walk out?
That's something very important.
If your Guru Maharaj was sitting here, you wouldn't walk out. If Prabhupada was sitting here, you wouldn't walk out.
Yes.
You would think you have something so important to do. You can do it in a half hour later. That's only a half hour more. It's called being whimsical. Rupa Goswami says, acting whimsical or not following the rules and regulations, this can, it destroys devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master in 1922, met Bhaktisiddhanta. Bhaktisiddhanta looked at him and said to him that you should preach the English speaking, to the message of Lord Chaitanya to the English speaking world. And of course Prabhupada was surprised to hear this because it was his first meeting. He didn't know anything about Bhaktisiddhanta. But he was impressed when his friend asked him what he thought about Srila Prabhupada or his Bhaktisiddhanta. Bhaktisiddhanta said this, he was a Vaikuntha man. So he was impressed by that first meeting and that first instruction. Then he took initiation in 1933, and he met a spiritual master again at Radhakund. And Bhaktisiddhanta told Srila Prabhupada, if you ever get money to print books, because the kirtan with Majung cartels can only be heard for a small certain distance. But if you print books in all the languages in the world, that the Brihat Madranga or the printing press, and those books can go all over the world and easily spread Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada noted that the communists, they spread their influence by distributing pamphlets and propaganda. So that is the glories of Srila Prabhupada, that he had two instructions to fulfill: to preach in the English speaking world and to print books. But at that time there were no books in English, or at least whatever books there were weren't bona fide and didn't give the proper conclusion, or were written by Mayavadis or self-motivated people. And when one lady came to Srila Prabhupada in New York, in Second Avenue, asked Prabhupada, can you recommend the Bhagavad Gita for me to read? And Prabhupada said no, because if you go into any bookstore, you'll see how many Bhagavad Gitas are there. But none of them actually can give the real spirit of the Bhagavad Gita. So this Bhagavad Gita is a tar rup as it is, as Krishna spoke it to Arjuna. And Prabhupada put his purports in these books so we can understand what Krishna is actually saying. So the Bhagavad Gita should not be taken lightly. People, not many devotees come to Bhagavad Gita class because they have service or other things to do. But if somebody has service, that what can be done? Many people are also listening on the radio, but we can't estimate, we can't calculate that. For some reason or other, people don't take the Bhagavad Gita very seriously. But the Bhagavad Gita is the ABC. So Prabhupada in one purport, first canon, Prabhupada said the devotee should study Bhagavad Gita first and then study Srimad Bhagavatam. So when you understand Bhagavad Gita, then you can try to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. We heard this morning how a man how the devotee went to meet a man in Parliament in England, and how he told him to refer to the Bhagavad Gita for all its problems. And when he came back 1 month later, he saw that the man actually was reading the Bhagavad Gita and was using it to help him with his life. So the Bhagavad Gita deals with five subject matters: the living entity, Supreme Personality Godhead, material nature, karma, and time. And this verse 13 and 14 is talking about material nature. So Krishna says he enters into each planet, and by his energy they stay in orbit. So, and he's also in every planet, every living entity, and every atom. So it's not that things happen by chance. They have the Big Bang theory that at one time there was a Big Bang, and then from that Big Bang everything came into existence. But the Prabhupada says even if that's true, that some big explosion happened, where did the chemicals come from to create that explosion? So foolish people say they don't believe in God, or don't believe and that there's something behind the creation. If someone makes a very nice picture, an artist, he always signs his name on the bottom, so you know who has made it. So one time, Sir Isaac Newton, who was a philosopher, scientist, scholar, whatever, had a friend who didn't believe that there was a creator. So he made a model of the universe as he understood it. And when his friend came and saw it, said, "It's very nice. Who created this?" And so Isaac Newton said, "Nobody. This happened by chance." But his friend said, "No, I don't agree with that. Someone must have made it." So he said, "Well, if someone must have made this, but you think that the whole universe was made by chance, then nobody made it." So we know that the universe is going on, and everything is going on by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Brahma Samhita is quoted here. Says, "Eko api aso rachi chaitam jagatanda kotim jachaktir asti jagatanda chayayad antaha adantarasta paramo charantam stam govindamaripusha tamaha bhajami." He is the undifferentiated entity, as there's no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. His work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primal Lord I adore. So one time Advaita Acharya, he read a verse from Bhagavad Gita and he didn't understand it. So that night he fasted. And when he went to sleep, Lord Chaitanya came to him in a dream and said, "Acharya, get up, take your food." And then Lord Chaitanya explained the meaning of the verse. The verse says, "Sarva parvata pani padmam tad sarvato si saromukaha sarvata sri timal loke sarvam avritya tista ti." Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, heads and face, and he has ears everywhere. In this way, the Super Soul exists, pervading everything. So, we can't understand Dvaita Acharya. This is Leela. He didn't understand this. But there's many statements in the Puranas and Vedas that seem to be impersonal. But the when it says the Lord has no veins or no bones or no blood, doesn't have any material attributes, doesn't mean he doesn't have a form. Isvara Sarabhutanam, Brahma Samhita says Sarvakaranam, that the Supreme Lord, Isvara Parama, Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha, Nanda Adi Govindam, Sarvakaranam, that he has a body which is Satchitananda, eternally full of knowledge and bliss. So we're trying to understand that this is a that there's a controller behind everything. And we don't see anything in this world that's not controlled by someone. So it's people don't understand the Bhagavad Gita, or people are afraid to take the Bhagavad Gita because they think it's some that we're proselytizing, we're trying to push people to become, change their religious beliefs. But real religion means religion without philosophy is speculation, and religion without science is simply religion without philosophy is sentimental, and religion without science is simply speculation. So all the other religions in the world, they can't give any proper understanding of how everything is working. They only have some vague idea. The Muslims say God is Naraka. He doesn't have a form. And that's why they went all over UP, all over India, breaking temples, breaking the deities, because they thought that deity worship was idol worship, was the product of the devil. And when Lord Chaitanya was traveling from Vrindavan to Allahabad, he happened to go into ecstasy and fell unconscious. And at that time, a group of Turkish soldiers called the Patanas came there and saw the sannyasi unconscious. So they arrested his four companions. Two were Brahmins, Bengali Brahmins, and two were from Mathura. So they came to the conclusion that they had given poison to this sannyasi and stole all his possessions. But the two from Mathura said, "This is not true. He's has some problem, and he's just unconscious. So just wait here for a little while, and when he wakes up, comes to consciousness, you can question him yourself. So they waited for some time, and Lord Chaitanya came back, external consciousness, and told him that these men are my servants, and I don't own anything. So it's not true. They didn't give me any poison, steal my possessions, because I don't own anything. So one of them, or the 10 of them, was wearing black, and was the priest of the Muslims. So he wanted to challenge Lord Chaitanya on the strength of the Quran, that God is not a person, my body philosophy. But Lord Chaitanya not only defeated him and proved to him that God is a person, and that the Quran does say that God is a person, and devotional service is the way to understand God. So all of them, 10 of them, became Vaishnavas, became famous as the Patana Vaishnavas. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya went all over in South India. Also, a group of Buddhists came and presented their philosophy to Mahaprabhu. And at that time, some untouchable food. They brought a plate of untouchable food to offer to Mahaprabhu. But a big bird, an eagle, grabbed that plate, took it up high in the sky, and dropped all the foodstuff on the Buddhists, and then dropped the plate, which hit the head of the leader of the Buddhists, and he fell unconscious. So the Buddhists didn't know what to do, so Lord Chaitanya told them to chant the Maha Mantra in his ear. So they did that for some time, and became conscious again. And then Lord Chaitanya defeated all of them and turned them into Vaishnavas. So this way, these other philosophies don't make any sense. So when people come to Krishna consciousness, it's not because we're trying to convert them. Some of them may be born in a Jewish family or a Christian family or any kind of family, but because they don't give any tangible knowledge. It's simply dogmatic, ritualistic ceremonies, so many things they do. But when someone comes in contact with Krishna consciousness, it begins to make sense. There's no other philosophies. They don't give philosophy that make any sense or teaches people how to love God. So that's why in America and in Western countries, most of our temples were churches, because people were not satisfied, and they sold the building to the devotees, and the devotees made a temple. And they asked Prabhupada, one reporter asked Prabhupada, "We thought Christianity had failed the people." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, I think so." And because Christianity don't follow any regulated principles, they don't tell people not to eat meat, not to gamble, not to take intoxication, not to have illicit sex. And even in the Catholic Church, they own the biggest slaughterhouses. So they can't really bring people to the mode of goodness. There's goodness, passion, and ignorance. So most people are in the mode of passion and ignorance, and they can't understand the science of Krishna consciousness. But if we get them to stop taking intoxication and following all the principles, then gradually they read Bhagavad Gita and they get a taste for a higher taste from Jisvara Nivartante, then they can give up the lower taste. Material world, people are working very hard for sense gratification, which is the lowest taste. And they're not satisfied, they're not happy with that, but they think they will be in the future. So they're making plans for the future. But we read in the Bhagavatam this morning, that people are acquiring so many things for the future to be happy. But what is the use of all these things? Big car, big house, big television, all these things. What is the use of all these things? Because they're temporary. When one comes in the material world with nothing, and then at the time of death, you can't take anything with you. So none of these things will make you happy or will go with you to your next body. In this chapter, it says that the living entity quits one body to take another, just like the air carries the aroma. And when he gets another body, he gets an eye, ear, nose, tongue, sense of touch, which are grouped about the mind. And thus he enjoys a particular type of sense enjoyment. So if you offer a halva to a hog, he'll refuse it. He'll say, I prefer to eat stool. And Lord Vrishabhadev told his sons in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that one should not live like an animal that are simply interested in hogs and dogs that eat stool. In America and in the Western countries, where people, where everything's very neat and clean, you don't see animals eating stool. But it's commonplace in India, at least it used to be, I don't know if it's still going on, probably less, but when the little child would go to answer the call of nature, he had to bring a stick with him because the hogs would come and knock him over just to eat the stool. So they enjoy eating that because they get that kind of body. But for human beings, that's abominable. We'd rather take the halva. So in this way, the material world is going on. Here it says all the planets stay in orbit because the super soul enters each planet. This says, by my energy, they stay in orbit. So in Mayapur, they're making the Vedic planetarium, and they have they're going to make a diorama which will weigh 10,000 pounds, be 200 feet high, and it will depict how the universe is structured. And there's the starts with Radha Krishna on top and Lord Brahma coming from Garbhadakshai Vishnu. It shows all the higher planets floating around, orbiting around, then the middle planetary system, then the lower planetary system. So everybody can look at this and study it and give it back. We don't know when they're going to finish it, but we'll see it in this lifetime. So that's the nature of things. That it's not, nothing goes on by chance or by accident. And then the Lord enters the planets, and by his energy they stay into orbit. And we know, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Brihesu Arjuna Tisthati. Lord says, I'm in everyone's heart, and Yantarudani Mayaya. By the energy of the Lord, the material, the body is the moving, and like a machine made of material nature. So someone may purchase a very nice car, and he can look at his car, but the car won't move because it has to have a driver. Without the driver, the car can't move. So the same way, so the body has to have a soul. Here Prabhupada says, as soon as the soul leaves the body becomes very heavy. If it's in the water, it sinks to the bottom of the water. So this, when the soul is out of the body, then there's no activity and there's no life. And they say that life is just a combination of chemicals. So we challenge them that you take the chemicals, you take all your chemicals, and make life again. Make one tree, make one insect, make something. But they can't do that. But they say we will do it in the future. But this is simply bluffing. They can't do any, produce life in the laboratory. And no matter how they try to twist material nature, how they try to make so many horrible experiments and torturing living entities to try to prove that life is a combination of chemicals. But we can't accept that, because that's not in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Skaraj says it several times that life is not a combination of chemicals. That life comes from life. There's a nice book people can read called Life Comes from Life. And people read that book, it changes their lives. Many of people became devotees by reading that book. Life comes from life. Life is not a combination of chemicals. Chemicals don't have any feeling. Chemicals, when someone dies in the family, everybody laments and cries. So what's the use of crying if I bring you a bunch of chemicals and throw them in the garbage can? You're not going to cry. My chemicals are gone. But the people are lamenting when their relatives die. They say, my father is dead or my mother is dead. But the body is still there. So what was that person? They never really knew that person that was in that body. They only saw the external person. So here Krishna is saying that he's in the super soul. He enters into the body of all living entities. And it's by the arrangement of the super soul that the living entities are given intelligence. Sarvasya chaham riti shani visto matasvaram apavam cha. Krishna says that by my enter into the he said 15:15, that I give the knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. And it says, Vedanta Kriyat Veda Veda Evacaham, that I am the knower of the Vedas and compiler of the Vedas. So, when Lord Kapila Dev described in the third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya also told his mother that when the living entity is in the womb, after 7 months, he prays. This is the one, only those who are fortunate. He prays to the Supreme Lord that I'm suffering in the womb and that may I not have to undergo this suffering again. But, so Lord Chaitanya said that when the living entity prays in that way, he doesn't suffer anymore. But when he comes out of the womb, he forgets that he prayed in the womb. And his life sojourn, his life begins to become active. And unless he meets a bona fide spiritual master, comes in contact with devotees, he has to go through the cycle, repeated birth and death. So here also Prabhupada is talking about, or this verse is saying, that I become the moon, thereby supply the juice of life to all vegetables. And Prabhupada says not only the vegetables, he says everything becomes palatable by the agency of the Supreme Lord through the influence of the moon. So when Prabhupada went to America in 1965-66, his first book that he printed was Easy Journey to Other Planets. So in that book, he says that they never went to the moon. And the person who edited the book and printed it again he took that out of the book, and Prabhupada told him to put it back. So it says, man-made satellites and mechanical space vehicles will never be able to carry human beings to the planets of outer space. Men cannot even go on their own, their much-advertised trips to the moon. For as we have already stated, the atmosphere on such higher planets is different from the atmosphere here on Earth. Each and every planet has its particular atmosphere. If one wants to travel to any planet within the material universe, one has to have a material body exactly adapted to the climatic condition of that planet. For instance, if one wants to go to India, go from India to Europe, where the climatic condition is different, one has to change his dress accordingly. Similarly, a complete change of dress is necessary if one wants to go to the transitional planets of Vaikuntha. So just like in the summer, or in the, if I go to New York in the winter time wearing t-shirt and half pants, I won't be able to survive there very long. Or so you can't go to the moon by mechanical vehicle. The whole thing was simply a show or a hoax. They claimed there was this space race between America and Russia, and America was losing the space race, so they invented this whole production. Of course, people had firm faith in scientists, and whatever they did, no one questioned it. So they showed it on television, and we saw it in school. They showed it in school, how they landed on the moon, and how everyone was very happy that the Americans were the first people in the world to go to the moon. And they brought back some rocks and put them in a museum, so every day so many people go there to see the moon rocks. And they said the moon was just a barren desert, but they only landed on one portion of the moon. If I take an airplane and land in the middle of the desert, then I well, it's foolish to conclude that the whole planet is a desert. And how many vegetables can you get from a desert? So here it says that by the moonshine, the is a source of life for all vegetables. And he says for all foods, everything, fruits, vegetables, grains, anything that grows, any food that mankind needs for survival. Ishvasham sabam. So sabamidam, that everything is provided. One should just take his quota. If one lives simple life, simple living, high thinking, and accepts what is required for his maintenance, then he can live a long, healthy life. But again, they don't know anything about moonshine. They don't know anything about how material nature is working, so they're twisting the arm of nature in so many ways to produce things that are bigger and better, but they're not bigger and better. They're tasteless and useless. And in India, they get the farmers used to grow their vegetables, and from the whatever they grow, they would get the seeds, and then they can grow another crop. Because they have genetically modified the plants, they don't produce seeds anymore. So not only do they farm, they may get bigger and better production, but they can't grow anything again without buying more seeds. And because of that, they can't pay their bills, so the farmers are committing suicide by drinking pesticide. So in this way, the whole modern civilization is based on godlessness, and that there's no one in control, there's no God, and no one's responsible for any of their activities. So Prabhupada said this modern civilization could not go on for a very long time. He said 50 years, but we may have a few more years left before the oil supply runs out, and then the whole modern civilization will be finished. So this is what is being said here, and we can understand it very simply, that by the nothing happens by chance or by accident, that there's a controller behind everything, and that's the Supreme Personality, Godhead, Sri Krishna. So we should not be misled by Mayavadi philosophy. When Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri, he entered the temple of Jagannath and immediately fainted in ecstasy. So the watchman, the guard there, wanted to beat him, thinking he was a crazy man. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya happened to be there and stopped him and took the Lord to his house. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya checked to see if Lord Chaitanya was still alive, because there was no symptoms of life in his body. But he took a cotton piece of cotton and held it to his nose, and he saw that it moved a little bit. So he was hopeful that Mahaprabhu was still alive. But then when all the devotees came there and had a big kirtan, Mahaprabhu came to external consciousness. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the reservoir of all bad logic. He was the leader of the Mayavadi school. So he said to Lord Chaitanya, "You're a Vaishnava, you're a sannyasi, and you should study Vedanta. So I will teach you Vedanta." So Lord Chaitanya sat down, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke Vedanta philosophy with Shankaracharya for 7 days. And Mahaprabhu was just sitting there. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Why, you're just sitting here, why you're not asking any questions?" So Mahaprabhu said that, "I understand Vedanta Sutra, I understand the meaning of the Vedas, but your interpretation is just like the clouds that cover the sun. It's just a completely wrong." And this, you know, shocked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because he was a staunch Mayavadi. But then Lord Chaitanya pointed out the real meaning to the Vedanta Sutra and converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya into a Vaishnava. So in this way, we should not hear Mayavadi philosophy, should not hear from non-devotees, we should not see dramas performed by non-devotees, because milk touched by the lips of a serpent has a poisonous effect. So in either way, we should take the chant, take the time to study Bhagavad Gita, and on a daily basis, if we can, we should read one chapter every day. Just the verses, or Sanskrit or English, either way, doesn't take much time, and we should be know that Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna is Satchitananda Vigraha, and anything about Krishna or anything that Krishna speaks is on the transcendental platform. So the Bhagavad Gita is transcendental. One devotee was distributing books. He tried to give a man a book, and the man refused. So he said, "Well, you just touch the book. You don't have to take it." So the man did that. He touched the book, and 5 minutes later he came back and bought the book. So Prabhupada said, if they just read one word, one paragraph, one sentence of the book, their lives can be changed. And that's why Prabhupada stressed book distribution, so we can educate the entire world, which is fallen into a degraded condition of where people think that sense gratification is the only business in life. So they're living like animals, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Human life is meant for a tattva brahman jignasa, to inquire into the Supreme. When we look up in the sky at night and see so many stars, we wonder what's going on up there. But we can find out by reading the fifth canto, by reading Bhagavad Gita, we can find out that they say there's many suns and many moons, but this is the Vedic literature say there's only one sun and one moon in each universe, and there's millions of universes in this material world. So this moon is giving source of life, juice of life to the vegetables, and the sun is giving us light. So the sun and the moon. Krishna says, I am the entrant, by my energy, I be enter into the sun, and by my energy, I become the moon and the fire, the light of the moon and sun and fire. In this way, in this chapter, Krishna is describing his different opulences. So we stop there. Anybody have any comments or questions? Question man is not here. All right, Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhagavad Gita ki, jai.